Hey, it's me, John.
And me, Louise.
And you are listening to Time Magazine's number one podcast about great ideas that you'll never do. Don't fact check me.
No.
No. How's it going, Louise?
It's going pretty great.
Pretty great?
Yes, I did some self-care today.
What did you do?
I had rescheduled a massage, a deep tissue massage, three times. And today, I made it happen.
All right.
So I got equal parts punished and pampered.
Oh, excellent. Is that what the place is called, punished and pampered?
It should be. So for those of you listening out there, if you'd like to take that idea and run with it, it's probably open for dibs. No.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if something like that did already exist, punished and pampered.
Punished at and pampered at selfcare.me.
So, okay, you did some self-care. I'm very proud of you. Tell me a little bit more about what's going on. So for maybe first-time listeners or if maybe you haven't tuned in a while, I'm John, that's Louise. I live on the West Coast in Portland, Oregon. Louise lives on the East Coast in New York. And here we are. We have completely opposite perspectives on the world, considering where we are. It for you, it's later in the day than it is for me. This is wild. Yeah. Tell me what's been happening.
Well, the biggest news for me is that my great old mom, she's not old, she's just great, and she's mine, and she's old to me because she's my mom. Not mm-hmm. old as an age or a shame or a thing, but just
you've known her your whole life.
That's right. And what I meant in intent was like a good old time, like my good old mom. She picked up her entire life and she moved 10 minutes away from me.
From Iowa.
That's right. From the center of the country, for those following along geographically. And she moved in, but 2 weeks ago, and it's awesome.
Any new developments? Has she been finding the change easy so far?
I think so. I mean, there's a lot of complications that come with moving at any age mm-hmm. to and from any location, even within your own town. And it's been swimmingly. Things have been really great. She got a text message from her brother the other day about how much snow got dumped on Iowa recently. Because it's April and springtime in Iowa, and it means it snows. And for those of you who don't know, I'm not being sarcastic. That is what happens. And we probably won't see any more snow out here on the East Coast for a good 9 months.
Probably not. Yeah.
So she's glad stoked to not about be in that. That. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And you've been enjoying having her around?
It's been the best. The Good. Iowa women's basketball team is killing it.
I've been watching.
So we've been bonding over that, even though I didn't go to the University of Iowa. It's just fun to root on the same team and have a thing that we can do together. Easter was really great having her out here. And yesterday we went to my next door neighbor's mom's apartment and took lampshades.
And took lampshades?
Yeah, she's 92. Okay. My neighbor's mother.
So she won't know. She won't.
That's right. She won't know. No, and they recently had to finally at 92 move her into an assisted living place. And she said, there's no market for this stuff. If your mom needs anything, I've got everything. So my mom got, you know, boring stuff like Clorox bleach and Old English, wood scratch cover up, and lampshades.
You know, it's really funny. I was over at my friend Thomas's place the other day, who recently moved into a new house, and he is a maximalist. Lots of things on the walls, lots of plants, lots of like big furniture. Everywhere there's something. There isn't like an area where there just isn't something. And he does a lot of estate sale shopping. And he found a lamp base, but it does not have a shade yet. And said to me, the shade is a really hard part of it. It's, you know, it's not that easy to just find a lampshade.
Mare and I went to Target and looked for hours.
Yeah.
I mean, we were testing out like base size versus how big the shade should be and right. if it should be a cylinder or a barrel or whatever, conical in a yeah. way. It's tough. And then we got it home and it turns out she needs the one with the little screw on top, not the one yeah. that drops over the light bulb. So there's all kinds of roadblocks in the way. And she got some shades.
Good.
Exciting stuff.
It is exciting stuff. It's big life changes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're not just here to talk about your mom. I'm sorry.
Bummer.
Although Mare, who has been on the podcast before in one of our Olympics minisodes. So if anybody wants to check back to that from 2018.
Possibly.
you could check back there. And Mare is a complete delight. Love her to pieces. But yeah, we're here to talk about great ideas that we're never going to do. Have you had any recently?
I have had explosive ideas recently.
Oh.
And I don't know if any of them like go together, but let's do it.
Do you want to give me some like general topics and we can pick and choose?
Okay. Voting.
Okay.
Get together ideas.
Ooh, okay.
And you know, I think the rest of them were just me excited about my challenge.
I feel like I gave you a pretty good challenge.
You really did.
I have been really stuck on the challenge that you gave to me, but we'll come back to those later.
Okay.
Hit me with voting.
Okay. We need proposition clarification.
Mm.
There's a lot of voting opportunities coming up for a lot of different, you know, communities for a lot of different races. And a lot of times I feel tricked or trapped by the proposition. And it's like too many double negatives.
Right.
And then it's like after you work out the double negatives, then do I vote yes or then do I vote no? Well, so it's kind
yeah,
of
the wording. The wording is definitely designed to not seem like it's trying to steer you in one direction or another.
It is. And a lot of times a proposition will be an amendment to a previous idea.
Uh-huh.
So if the previous idea said no to the thing that we all wanted to say yes to, then the new thing says no to saying no to the thing that we all wanted to say yes to. Like, it's just like, can somebody make an app that you can put in your zip code
right.
for this and say, these are the things you're voting on. And if you believe this, vote yes.
If this is the kind of person you are, then you're going to want to just vote yes on this. Let's just leave it at that.
Right. Or if this is what you want, vote no. Because it just feels like I'm always prepared on what I feel about the candidates that I'm mm-hmm. voting for. And then I get stuck at the proposition. And most of it's the wording.
Sure. Yeah. No, I think that that's a really smart idea, especially if you're thinking app, because that's something that like everywhere, especially in the United States, I don't know how things work outside of the United States, but that it's something that's happening everywhere. And it's so confusing. And a lot of times it's just like, well, of course I like the environment, but what it doesn't tell you is like, all of the bad stuff that happens because of it, where it's just like, oh, your kid won't be able to go to school anymore. You know, it's right. like something like that.
Right. Right.
In Portland, we have a really great weekly newspaper called the Willamette Week. Portland is divided by the Willamette River. And in the Willamette Week, they really do a great job with voting guides. And what they'll essentially say to you is like, here is who we recommend and why. And for these propositions, this is what we recommend and why. And for the, I mean, a newspaper, you know, it's like, it's not like they have necessarily a political bias, but it is like a common sense issue, then it's just like, it's going to be leaning left. That's just the way that it works out. It's the party of common sense. And so I typically go there first, and then I don't always vote the way that it recommends, but it at least takes out a lot of the guesswork, and it helps kind of put it into actual readable language.
Right.
So an app or some other kind of platform website would be a really beneficial thing because it can kind of do that for everything.
Yes. And it's usually, like I said, it's not really like the candidate for a particular office, because I usually do much more research on that kind of thing. And
it's whoever
what
has the coolest name.
What?
It's whoever has the coolest name.
That's right.
Yeah. Easy.
But yeah, the proposition, I always am like, okay, I know what I'm voting on the proposition. And then I get in there and it's just too many flip and floppins in it. And then I'm like, wait, did I read this wrong? And then I read it again. And then my kid's running around a gymnasium or library or something.
Yeah. Another thing that's really cool about the Willamette Week that maybe this platform could, you know, take some notes from is that they also indicate what organizations back each one. So if somebody is campaigning for or against a particular proposition, you can say, oh, this is backed by a lot of insurance companies. So there's some sort of incentive in it for them.
Whereas that is super helpful.
Is backed by like Planned Parenthood and, you know, the ACLU, you know, it's like things like that where it's just like, interesting. I see you for who you are, Proposition 42.
Yeah. Whatever, man. Yeah.
Whatever, man.
Okay, so I didn't have a snappy idea, but that was what my idea was.
No. I think that's a really snappy idea because it's...
No, Proposition Clarification? That's a bad type. That's a bad name.
Who cares?
So many syllables.
It doesn't...
Maybe it should just be Prop Claire.
Prop Claire? What the prop? Prop me up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Prop it to me.
Prop it to me. I love it.
There you go. Prop it to me. Okay. So I love that. I have something that it's not necessarily an app, but it kind of lives in that world. Because, okay, Louise, I feel like you and I are similar in this way, especially knowing your life partner, Chris. I imagine that you have a pretty connected smart home situation. Is that true?
We sure do.
You
oh,
sure
yeah.
do. So before I go on, what is your primary system? Are you like the one that begins... Alexa, the Siri.
No, we talk to Robot Lady.
But like, which company is your overlord?
Apple HomeKit.
Yeah. Okay. Same here.
Yeah.
Okay. So we live in these super connected worlds, but I feel like there are certain things where it's just like, oh, I just wish that this thing would talk to this thing that's, they're both also so super connected, but they're just not doing it in the way that works for me. And so frequently what I'll do, and don't at me, but my bedtime routine is very much hinges on listening to a podcast that I have like on a timer, and after like the 10-minute timer is up, if I'm listening to a podcast and it is so engaging that my brain is still going, I will like go again and I'll be like, I got 5 minutes left in me. I'll do the 5-minute timer. Or I've got 10 minutes left in me. I'll do another 10 minutes. And then sometimes it's just like, you know what? There's only 13 minutes left in this episode. I'm going to end this at the end of the episode and then we're done. That's my timer. And I have AirPod Pros in my ears, and there have been times when maybe I have said, let it ride, no timer. And then I wake up and there's some like other podcast that's playing, or I'm listening to the same podcast and it's like, you know, 45 minutes later. And we have so many connected devices, including our phones, that know when we're sleeping. So if you wear an Apple Watch overnight, I have a different smartwatch. For any YouTube watchers, we're showing off our watches. I have a watch that isn't like a tells you everything, but it tracks steps, but it also connects to my phone and it updates all that information. And it knows my sleeping pattern. I also have a Sleep Number bed. This is not an endorsement. I don't like it, but it knows when I'm asleep. So why can't it tell my phone, hey, he fell asleep, let's turn off the podcast?
Yes. That just makes sense.
It just makes sense.
That's wild.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, like, why doesn't that already exist?
It can gently fade out. It won't be abrupt.
Yes.
Yeah, you'll wake up in the middle of the night with, like, one AirPod in and the other one is, like, somewhere loose in the bed. But you know what? It's all gravy.
Yes.
We're good.
I don't know how many times I have found my partner's AirPod. Can you make a puppy?
AirBud.
just like hanging out in the sheets. And I'm like, here, this has to charge, I bet. But why can't it just turn off? Yes, that's wonderful. Somebody out there, pick it up and run with it. Because
are you an Apple Watch overnight wearer?
Yes.
Really? When do you charge it?
Usually in the morning when I'm running around and getting...
But that's when you're being active and it should be tracking your activity.
It is, but I'm also really active throughout the rest of the day. Like, it charges very fast. It's a new-ish one.
Okay.
So it charges in like 3 to 6 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then I wear it all day. And then occasionally I will... It charges if I shower, you know, things like that.
Right, right.
But it gets all the dog walks. It gets me when I'm like working. It gets all the moving that I did with Mare. But this is how Chris convinced me that I needed one, was that I used to be a person who could sleep through a tornado and a freight train. Mm. And then we had a baby who is now a child. But she makes a little tiny tweak noise and then I'm like up, like amped up. And he was like, it would be interesting for you to be able to see how poorly you are sleeping.
Oh, okay.
And so that peace of mind has actually adjusted the way that I sleep. Don't ask me how, but I saw how terrible it was. And I was like, no wonder I'm crazy. I'm not having any deep core sleep.
Zero.
That's right.
Zero deep core impact. Sleep. Yeah, I will say that my connected devices have been praising me on my sleeping lately. For some reason, things have been running smooth on the sleep train. So I don't understand it because I feel like I'm going to bed later. And clearly my bedtime routine is not what is recommended, as I am consuming media up until the second my brain shuts off. So I don't know. There's an exception to every rule, I guess.
Yeah. I used to, pre-baby, be go, 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 head hits the pillow, asleep.
Yeah.
Like mid-sentence. It didn't matter. I was, you know, talking, jabbering, head hits the pillow, out. And now occasionally the way that I will fall asleep, because I too have an addiction, but mine is New York Times games.
Oh, okay.
So I'll do the run of all these games. And then there's one that I don't quite understand what it's good for or why I do it, Tiles. Anyway.
What's Tiles?
They're just little patterns and you have to match them and then the tiles go away.
When do you do those games?
So as I'm falling asleep, I'm like, so Chris and I have over 4 years of the New York Times crossword streak. So we always have to do the crossword because I'm addicted to our streak. I wake up, I do Wordle. Usually after the crossword, I'll do connections. Sometime I'll do spelling bee. Mm. And if I end up getting genius on spelling bee, then I'm like, I guess I got to move on to Sudoku. I guess I got to move on to tiles. Like, I don't really have to do any of those things. But then I'm like looking at the light and being awake and my brain is doing things. So then I turn the phone off, set it down, and then I slowly go through sort of musically the NATO alphabet. And usually I'll only get to like J or K on the second time and then I'm asleep.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Where did you come up with that?
I don't know.
Is there a tune that you do it to?
No, but there's a tempo.
Okay. Like first of all, I want to know more, but I don't want you to feel like I'm trying to, like I'm exposing something about you.
You're not. I just wondered why I couldn't fall asleep one night. And then I was like, I wonder if I know the NATO alphabet. Because I always would default to, you know, N like Nancy, M like Mary. But M is Mike. Or people say S like Sam.
Okay.
But it's Sierra. So I was like, I wonder if Sierra? I know the... Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
So I thought, like, I wonder if I know what it actually is. And so then I, like, would practice. And turns out I did actually know what it was. And then I was like, well, if I know it, maybe I should do it, like, to a beat. And if I mess up, I have to go back to the beginning.
Louise, I have known you since 2001. This is the first, I'm so happy to be learning new things about you. This is so exciting. I love it.
It's just, you know, you learn and you grow and you change.
I want to go back to the New York Times games. So you do these at night. Are these the
games? Except Wordle. That's in the morning.
Wordle's in the morning. And is that because you are likely to hear what the word is?
Yes.
Okay. So the games that you're doing at night, an entire day has gone by that these have been out, but you're not concerned about somebody spoiling connections for you. I feel like spelling bee is a different situation. The crossword puzzles, I mean, that could go either way. It depends on who you encounter throughout the day. Okay. So first of all, I feel like I got into crossword puzzles with you and Chris. I was in New York and we were doing them together. We like mirrored the iPad to the TV and we were all doing it together. It was so much fun. And I've been really into crossword puzzles. I kind of take breaks from it and then I go back and then I get really into it. And then I go back into an archive and be like, all right, which ones did I not do? But I guess a few months ago, decided not to renew my New York Times games subscription for a year because I happened to be like not doing crossword puzzles and really like not doing much. And you can do Wordle without that and everything. And I have been doing because I subscribe. I'm like an Apple premium subscriber. So in Apple News, which you might not even need the subscription for it, but they have crossword puzzles that are also very good. I don't think that they're in any way the same ones that are in New York Times, but I have been really into doing those lately. And I actually like the apps are actually very similar, but I kind of like the Apple News one better than the New York Times one.
I'll check it out.
My morning routine is first, I do a game called Contexto. Okay. So, of course, when Wordle came out, there was like the big craze of all of the different, you know, guessing games, like, you know, word-based games. And so Contexto is one where you have unlimited chances to get the word that you're trying to get. There is no character limit to it. It is one word, so it can't be like a two-word situation or hyphenated. And
proper nouns?
No proper noun. I don't know. I will say this. I hate the game. It just has a stronghold on me. And there are certain times where it's just like, what? How could that be possible? But what you do is there's like one word and it has some sort of database where there's a decided upon by some who knows what words contextually are closest to it. And it is like, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So let's say the word is plant and you type in the word tree. It might be like 7. You type in the word spaghetti. It's going to be 12,682. and you're trying to figure out, okay, spaghetti's really far away, tree's really close, green, nature, and you're like trying to get to it, and it's like leaf, plant. And so that is the first game that I play. Today I got it in 10, which is amazing. Yesterday I got it in like 89. And so there's really like, it's infuriating. It can take you all day, but if you just keep on plugging away, eventually you'll get it. But sometimes
new addiction unlocked.
I know, and I'm so sorry. So the first thing I do is Contexto. Although if I'm like 80 something in or 100 in and I haven't gotten it yet, I need to take a break from it and move on to the other games. So then I do Wordle, and then I do Connections. And then at a later point in the day, if I need to just like do something else, then I do the crossword. But I feel like those games, at the beginning of the day, it's like it wakes my brain up. It kind of sets me on a course to like face the day.
We always do Connections after the crossword for that reason. That if I try to do it earlier in the day, like my brain's not nimble enough yet to figure out what the connections would be. And after the crossword, I'm like primed for like some kind of gimmick or a lot of times too, what Chris and I will strive to do is not miss any. So have like a perfect game, not use any chances and reverse solve it. So we'll try to get the trickiest one first. Like the colors mean like the simplified down to trickiest.
Yellow, green, blue, purple. Yeah.
Right. And we try to reverse order it. We're like,
how can you know what it's, because there's some of them where I'm just like, that one's purple, that one should be yellow.
Some of them are like that for me, because like if it's any kind of theater or Disney thing, like, oh, duh. And other people might find that tricky. I don't know how we manufacture that, but a lot of times we get the trickiest one in the first or second slot.
Yeah.
Purposefully. So like,
it's satisfying. It's very satisfying.
Yes.
We have veered way off course from having great ideas that we're never going to do.
It's just brainstorming and getting the juices flowing.
Well, what else you got?
Okay. This one I'm going to have to credit to Chris because he came up with it, but it's called Lighthouse No Spouse.
Oh.
And it's a meetup for older singles who really like lighthouses. But perhaps...
I was like, is this going to have anything to do with a lighthouse?
Uh-huh.
And it does. Great.
Uh-huh. Because possibly their spouse isn't as into lighthouses as they are, and so they're not going to be as good of a companion on, let's say, a lighthouse tour. Or if you're a singles, then you don't have a spouse that can go with you. But you don't want to go on a little day trip to a lighthouse by yourself. So Lighthouse No Spouse is like, look, I'm in my mid-60s. I live, you know, 27 miles from the X lighthouse that I've never been to, and I want to go Saturday around 3 o'clock. Who's coming with me?
Okay, I have to ask you this. Are you a house divided when it comes to lighthouses? Where is this coming from?
That's an excellent question. I'm not sure where we land on outhouses. We both love outhouses.
Where do you stand on lighthouses?
I personally stand in, I think they're charming and like sweet, and
they serve a purpose. They've got a cool look.
They used to serve a purpose, right?
Yeah. They're for safety.
That's right. That's right.
There's that weird Robert Eggers movie.
Oh, I don't
Willem
think
Dafoe.
I know it.
Yeah. Oh, The Lighthouse?
It's speaking bananas. Of movies.
Robert Pattinson, so good.
We need to take a quick time out and go back to Lighthouse No Spouse in a second. But
okay.
My daughter has recently started putting crayons between her toes to draw. And I constantly am making a my left foot joke.
Oh my God, yes, Christy Brown.
And Daniel Day-Lewis. Yeah. And it wasn't until
Daniel Day-Lewis as Christy Brown.
Right. It wasn't until maybe the third time that I made the same joke that Chris was like, I don't know what you're saying. And I was like, my left foot. And he was like, no. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, no. I was like, how did you not see this movie?
Oh, well, I feel like also, well, first of all, it's a biopic about a real person. And so there's the person, Christy Brown. And I feel like I had known about My Left Foot for, you know, since it came out.
Yes.
Even if I hadn't seen it, he hadn't even heard of it.
No. And I was like, well, now I feel like a dum-dum for giving the same joke three times. I thought I was killing it.
Louise, okay. We've been best friends since 2001. You know that you can always call me and just say, hey, what does this make you think of? Show me your kid coloring with their foot. And I'll be like, oh, it's Christy Brown, My Left Foot, Daniel Day-Lewis, Brenda Fricker.
That's it. Yeah. So next time I'll know. But back to Lighthouse No Spouse.
Back to Lighthouse No Spouse. Okay.
My mom really, really thinks lighthouses are the tops. And being she's
landlocked. That's for all these years.
That's what I said. It's you think they're so wonderful because we haven't had any around. Yeah. And I mean, we have like some lighthouses along the river for like barges and lumber boats at night just to keep them inside the channel, but not like an ocean lighthouse.
Yeah.
So now that she's on the coast and there's like apparently a really, really charming one by Tarrytown and it's only open between like a specific 30 days in the late summer. So you can only go and you have to make a reservation and there's a wait list and all these things. And I'm like, you should go to that. And she's like, well, I don't want to go by myself. Lighthouse, okay. No Spouse.
Yeah.
But I would go with her also.
Oh, yeah, of course you would. Lighthouses are amazing. They're so charming.
That's right.
I love a good lighthouse. I've never been to one.
Oh.
Yeah. If I lived closer, I'd go with your mom. But
yeah.
Here we are.
They also sometimes Airbnb them out. And you have to do like the log. Yeah. And you have to light the thing maybe. And some of it's probably more fun because you don't need to do it. And it's automated. But
right.
That would be fun.
The thing that would concern me about, so I love a charming and peculiar Airbnb. Yes, tree houses, so much fun. But I need to know the bathroom situation. Like, that's what I really need is reviews that are specific to the bathroom situation. Because if there is a outhouse next to the lighthouse, I may be a little less interested in that.
Really?
Yeah.
You get stage fright?
No, it's just
Is it spiders?
No, it's not even that. It's just like, I want to be comfortable. I don't want to have to like put on a coat to take a leak.
I see.
Yeah.
I mean, I could go anywhere. I don't want to be cold and need a coat, but yeah, a good specific review is always very helpful. Do lighthouses famously not have a bathroom?
Oh, I don't know, but I'm thinking along lines of like peculiar Airbnbs.
Mm.
Yeah. That are more just like the kind of Airbnb that you go to for the story after and for the pictures that you take. You know?
Yeah.
But no, I love a lighthouse. Sign me up.
Okay.
This one, it doesn't have to do with lighthouses or bathrooms, although you can connect it to, you know, bathrooms in the sense of it contains information about one's private areas. So what about a doctor who never sees your face? A non-face-to-face doctor situation for when you have a sensitive subject that you're feeling embarrassed or uncomfortable about, where it's just like, well, it'll be a lot easier if I don't actually have to look at this person in the face and say, here's what's going on. Check this out. So it's kind of like you are uncovered wherever you need to be uncovered for them to examine what they need to examine. But there's no eye to eye contact here.
So it's like a confession, but for medical purposes.
Exactly. You know, I'm sure that there are a lot of people who perhaps don't address issues or maybe not in a timely fashion because they don't want to have to deal with that type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
you know?
It doesn't even have to be like a private situation. There was a woman that my mother knew who had like a sore on her ankle that just wouldn't heal. And then it got so bad that she was like, well, now it's too late for me to go to a doctor, so I just won't, because I should have gone earlier. And the whole thing, I won't tell you the ending, but I will tell you more about me, because I have the, I guess what, autonomy to do that. But I had an issue with my shin that like wasn't getting better, and I never go to the doctor. Like I have insurance, but I'm like, unless I'm dying or it's dire, I don't need to go see these people. This is like not an issue. Like it'll fix itself, the body. Not that I have anything like against medicine or doctors, or that I'm scared. It's not like that. It's just, I think a lot of people think doctors are gods, and they're not. They're just people with degrees. So I'm like, whatever. So when I had this issue on my leg, I was like, huh, this is really actually not good. I should see a doctor. And my GP was like, you're going to need to go to urgent care. And they had to, this is a couple summers ago, but they had to cut like an inch gash in my leg to drain it and then pack it with a lot of gauze. It was really intense. But it was like, what if I felt self-conscious?
Yeah.
Like so many people do. And it's just like, I didn't. So that was good.
That's good. Yeah.
But it doesn't, like I'm saying, it doesn't even have to be like another region's thing. It can just be like, oops, this thing on my leg.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I want to take a quick moment to address something that that happened after we recorded our last episode that we have not talked about. I've talked about it with you, but 304-804 IDEA is back up and running. Call us and leave a voicemail with your great idea and we'll play it on the show. Just dial 304-804 IDEA. I don't remember what the numbers are, but it's 304-804 IDEA. We lost the number.
And we got it
back. But I got it back, baby.
I also feel like if you're self-conscious about your voice, you can email us.
Yeah.
At greatideapod@gmail.com.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. Or if you still feel like calling, but don't want us to use your voice, we'll put a filter on it.
We have the technology.
We have the technology. The future is now.
The future is now.
I love that because I remember people saying that like in the 1980s. And it's like, that's way in the past, my friends.
That's right.
But our future is now, but not anymore. Yeah. All right. Do you want to do one more idea each and then we'll go to our challenges?
Sure.
What you got? What you got? What you got?
Hey, hey, it's another app. It's the Halfway app.
Whoa.
Yes. It's an app that you put into locations. Like a friend of mine moved to Warwick, New York, and she has two kids and I have one kid and a dog, and you can put in specific filters like the ages of your children, if you want a dog friendly thing, and it will tell you what the weather's going to be like and where a halfway point would be if it's like a great public park that maybe you wouldn't have known about, and it's small, but it's got 7 swings and 2 slides and it's dog friendly, or you know, just you can put in the filters and it will tell you where the halfway mark is so that you, it takes the guesswork out of it for you.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, that's a close distance one. I imagine that it would be really helpful to have such a thing for like, I don't know, Texas and Quebec, or California and Paris, France. And it's just like Atlantis or something like that, you know?
That would be great, though.
That would be so much fun.
Yeah.
Even if it is something where it's like the middle of the ocean, it would be really interesting to see like what is halfway between us, where it's just like there have been discoveries of like this species of fish in that exact area that's between you two. Yeah.
Yeah. I got this idea because a friend of mine sent me an Instagram reel of a game show in Germany where the contestants have to bisect items, whether it's a pretzel
or
a carrot, and then they weigh both halves, and whichever person is close to like bisecting the item the
best. So it's bisected by weight. It's not bisected by length.
Well, like a pretzel's a regular.
Yeah.
So that one was by weight.
Yeah. Okay. So there are different parameters based on what the object
is. And I was just like, this is such a fun, weird game show that I feel like it should be Japanese, but it's not. And then I was like, what other things are like fun halfway? Because also you don't necessarily want like what hotel is halfway between you. What if you're not staying the night? Or what restaurant is halfway between you? People are in the mood for different foods at different time. I could wake up in the morning and be like stoked for tacos. Yeah. And then by the time dinner rolls around, I'm like, nah, I need pad thai.
Louise, breakfast tacos. All right, moving on.
Okay, you're right. You caught me. But yeah, the halfway app, and you can filter it by your needs. Yeah,
I like it. I think that's so fun. I mean, I'd just be curious to know, like, you know, because our phones can tell where our exact locations are. So it's like, what is exactly between the two of us right now?
Mm-hmm. And I'm really previous loyal listeners will know how much I love roadside attractions.
Yeah.
But what roadside attraction is closest to halfway between us?
Sure. Yeah. Maybe that'd be something for like Atlas Obscura to work on. They do such cool stuff, and all of their things are just like, hey, isn't this weird?
It would be great.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that. I've also got an app idea. Mine isn't very clever, and perhaps there have been attempts to do something like this, and I feel like the app that I'm about to mention as an example, you know, you can do this, but it's because it's not the way it's designed, people don't typically do this, but I come from a world where as a media professional, I was trained that the correct way to make video content is not vertical video, horizontal video. And to do something with a camera vertically feels so wrong to me. And I just hear all of my old like college professors just like weeping when I do it. And I have had to adapt as somebody who does create some videos for social media, specifically TikTok. And I feel like it's such a great TikTok is a great platform. I really do love it. It has an amazing algorithm. It gives me the things that I either know that I want or don't want to admit that I actually want. And it is smart that way. I really appreciate it. But I feel like there's a missed opportunity with the fact that it is vertical video. If there was a TikTok that was horizontal video only, like, you could create such more engaging content. And I know that YouTube is really designed for that, and they do have their own like vertical video stories feature, but like, I'm talking about short form videos that you flip through and you move on to the next one. It has the same kind of algorithm as TikTok when it comes to selection, same type of engagement. It's just like, when you're creating vertical video content, you lose a lot of space to add in items. Mm-hmm. And when you do have horizontal video, you have opportunities to like pop up a little video next to you showing what you're talking about or like the images that you're trying to do without it being like covering the whole screen or like you're green screened in front of it and it's behind you and you're moving yourself to get out of the way. It's like, there's a reason why it was done that way to begin with. Mm-hmm. And the fact that phones have become our cameras and our TVs is the reason why we have this other format, this layout. And it works because that's the way that we were trained as phone users to come to expect things, but there must be a better way.
There must be a better way. Yeah. And if it's just like the same with a new, with just a different app, it's Cintoc.
Cintoc?
I don't know, like cinematography.
I like that. Although when you said it, it made me think of sins, which made me think of confessionals, which made me think of the doctor who you don't want to know is looking at your butthole or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like it because I think a lot of times, and I too am the same, I wasn't trained in media, but I did once see a YouTube video with puppets about vertical videos, and it stuck with me, and I am a type A overachiever and just want to do things right. And I will take the video horizontally of, let's say, my child doing a scooter. Yeah. It doesn't matter what it is. And then I'll try to upload it to a platform. We'll call it Instagram. And it chops off parts of the video. And I'm like, but I did it right.
I know.
Why are you chopping off?
Yeah, it can be pretty frustrating. Yeah, and also it's like I still record most video. Like when I'm recording a video of like one of the dogs or my kid, I intentionally do it. I have to think, what is the purpose of me recording this video? Is this just to quickly send to somebody? Or is it something that I'm going to want to have later? If it's something that I'm going to want to like look back on later, I do it horizontally because I'm just like, I have a feeling that the tech, not like the needs are going to change and this is going to get edited into some sort of like, you know, video when my kid is, you know, turning 60 or something and we'll be glad, and, you know, and everyone's going to be like, oh, this one's a vertical video. Must have been shot in the 2020s, you know, like something like that.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's where I'm at.
I'm with you.
You're with me?
Yeah.
Cool. I'm gonna get ahead of the challenge situation, and I'm gonna talk about mine first because I want to end with yours because I just know it's gonna be amazing.
Okay.
Challenged me to interior paint.
Yeah.
Louise, I got nothing.
Really?
I could not think of a single thing. Okay. Interior paint, if you were talking about the act of painting interior walls, I do not enjoy it. I would want somebody to do it for me. I have seen products that definitely make it better. There's somebody who I saw on TikTok who created like a silicone liner for a tray that has like a lid on it so you can wash and reuse that. And it's so much better than the plastic ones or the aluminum ones and all that kind of stuff. It's so much easier to clean. And it's like, great, they did it. I've seen the things where, you know, the little life hacks that people have for keeping like cleaning the rollers. And it's like, great. They did it. And I'm just like, yeah. And it's like the only thing I could think of is the biggest annoyance, I think, for me is like covering floors. That's the only thing that I haven't seen a sleek solution for. I've seen stuff about applying like the painter's tape to your edges that makes it really easy. And it's like, great, they did it. But
they didn't.
But they didn't?
No, because if you apply the painter's tape where you're supposed to, let's say around like door or window trim, and you're still not very, very mindful, it bleeds through. And if you leave it on the wall too long, then when you pull it off, if you've gone two coats, and a lot of times you need that to get the coverage that you want in the color that you want, or at least I do because I'm not painting with whites and beiges, contrary to the color of this room, which I did not paint. And neither did Chris. We bought the house with this color and we just didn't get to it yet.
You're like, fine.
But it's like it bleeds through or it doesn't come off perfectly. Like there are improvements to be made, but I too would rather hire a professional.
Right. I know that for some people it's enjoyable. They do it really well. They maybe even have the sprayers that get it really even and fast and everything. And I'd say I haven't really had that experience with the painter's tape situation. I've never had the experience of it bleeding through. Certainly there have been times where it's just harder to get off. Although I see products that people are advertising on TikTok all the time that are, you know, make that better. And isn't there like a company called like Frog Tape that has like painter's tape that it's supposed to like be better for all that stuff? I think so.
Maybe.
Yeah. So I don't know, but covering a floor, that's where I have an issue, because if I'm using like a drop cloth, it's a pain in the ass to like move around and like put ladders on top of, and I never feel really comfortable with that. If it's like a plastic sheet, it never stays where I want it to stay, or it rips,
tears.
Exactly. If it's that like the brown paper type of situation, it's just, it doesn't really work out that great. So I feel like if anything, it would be maybe a spray that you spray on the floor where it's like you'll be able to get paint on it for the next day and it'll wipe right up, you know, like something like that, some sort of miracle spray. But that'll probably make everybody sick with a new type of disease. And
and that only works if the floor is a hard
if
surface.
It's hardwood.
It
right,
doesn't
yeah.
work for a carpet.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
We don't know.
Or maybe it does. I don't know. Yeah. So I just had a really hard time with the interior paint thing. I'm sorry. I have failed you.
That's all right. That's why it's a challenge. If we were able to meet the expectation every single time, would it be any fun? Would we even grow?
Well, Louise, why don't you tell everybody what I challenged you to on our last episode?
Okay. On the last episode, John challenged me to new slang. So I really tried very hard.
Well, I will say it's not just new slang. It is akin to something like how charisma has been shortened to Riz.
Yes.
I feel like there was another example that was given that I'm
blanking. Was it right yeet?
Now. No, because I don't even know what that means or comes from.
Okay. But it is slang that the young kids are using. What about Aj?
Aj.
Yeah, that was one. Did we not use that as an example?
Aj, is that like a real one?
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
That like college age kids are using. Aj, it's like giving me anxiety. Like it's giving me agitations.
Oh my God. I'm remembering a little bit about what the other example was.
It's the new rolling on the floor laughing or laughing out loud?
No. It's going to come to me after we record. So let's just move on.
Okay. It's Eage Bowl.
Eage Bowl.
Yeah, wasn't it Eage Bowl?
What's Eage Bowl?
I just burst out laughing.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Well, I'm young and fun and cool.
Yeah, you're literally like 1 month younger than I am.
Yes. Eage Bowl. That was another one maybe we used as an example. Okay, so the ones that I've come up with that are going to be catching like fire and penetrating your ear holes coming up. Putting. It's like you're just putting around. Like it's replacing cruising. It's what people in small towns do when there's nothing else to do. What do you guys do on Friday night? We're just going to go putting.
Yeah, just putting.
Just putting. Going to go putting.
Okay.
Okay. Chamber.
It's Ooh,
really
I like it.
Intimate and exclusive. Hey, are you going to Christie's party? Yeah, but only because it's going to be chamber.
It's going to be
if the whole school was going, I don't want to go.
Chamber is the best. I like chamber.
I mean, I got two more, so
well,
is it the best?
Before you move on from chamber, I remember when I was a teenager and I went to summer camp, there were a lot of people who were there, like counselors and stuff from Australia. And yeah, I think it was the Australian ones, and they would use the word champion, stuff like that. And it's just like, champion. Like, that's great.
I like champion. Maybe I'll do that one too.
But chamber is so cool.
Yeah. It's like small, it's intimate, it's exclusive. Kintsugi. It's the Japanese word or art form that means taking something that's broken and instead of discarding it, making it more beautiful. So as an example, a teacup, like a porcelain teacup that's white. Yeah. If it shatters on the floor, they take this gold metal liquefied and glue the teacup back together so that you see where the cracks were. But now the teacup is way more beautiful and more valuable because it's got the gold content and because you're never going to be able to have it go back to the way it was, a la Humpty Dumpty. But it's now more meaningful to you because you can see how you fixed it.
Right.
So let's say you just have like a really terrible heartbreak and your friends are checking in with you and you're like, you know what? I'm kintsugi. You're not disguising the breaks, but you're more beautiful than you were before and you're thriving.
Yeah, I like that. I know. Yeah, I like that a lot.
You're kintsugi.
Yeah.
And the final one that I came up with, because I am young and hip, neon. It replaces extra. It's when you're just too much.
Oh.
It's like, oh, her outfit is really neon. She's trying too hard. It's too extra.
Okay. Neon. I like it. Chamber's still my favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that there's something about the word itself, the way that it comes out of your mouth, that it makes it feel the way that you're trying to represent the word, the meaning of the word.
Okay. Neat.
It's going to be so chamber.
So chamber.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I like it. That's fun.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know why when I was thinking about it, I couldn't really harness any of my youth. I immediately was like California Clueless.
Right. Well, we're trying to make fetch happen.
Right. Right. Yeah. Did I?
A chamber.
Chamber.
I think so. We're going to try it out. Okay. Listeners, we encourage you to try it out too.
I love it.
What do you want to challenge me to for the next episode?
Well, like almost every episode, I didn't think of it in advance. So I think I might, have to get back to you. I don't know. I know. Ooh, that's never happened
interesting.
Either. I know.
Okay. Well,
it's a secret challenge.
I've got a really hard one for you.
Oh, okay.
Interior paint.
Oh my God. I had it coming.
I mean, I'm just kicking it back to you.
Okay.
I don't know what else to do.
Challenge accepted.
Okay, cool. And I challenge know you're going to kill it. I know you're going to kill it.
It's like I need parameters.
There you go. It's perfect. Well, Louise, this has been fun. Everybody,
so fun.
Call 304-804-IDEA. Email us greatideapod@gmail.com. You can watch this episode on YouTube. And Louise, thanks for hanging out with me.
Thanks for hanging out with me.
I don't see it happening.